You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
We continue here. In a few minutes, we're going to get an update from a pro day today in the SEC from a former NFL MVP working out for the scouts. And we'll see how Cam Newton did on the plains. He's looking for a job, and we'll have a reporter who is there to give us the absolute latest. Let's check in with Peter, who is up next. Hey, Peter.
How you doing, sir?
We are well. Thank you.
Wow. You know, we're from the South, right? And everybody loves football.
Sure.
And I've got a friend I went to church with, and he was from North Carolina. And he said football was just something to, as a time marker or a place card until basketball season started. Well, I grew up loving both basketball, football, baseball, whatever it may be. But today has just been just the same question has been asked 50 times when we've got three teams, Tennessee, Alabama.
Okay, Peter,
Arkansas,
I think I know where you're going. You would like to talk about as opposed to what we have been talking about.
I mean, it's garbage. It's ash and trash. I mean, we're talking about the March Madness. We're talking about SEC could win March Madness.
Okay.
And we're sitting here talking about a bunch of, is it the Jerry Springer? Yeah, it's the Jerry Springer. It's crazy. Well, we've got something amazing to talk about.
Well, Peter, I appreciate your call, and we have been talking about it, and we will continue talking about it. And you didn't talk about it. All you talked about was all the other stuff. Mitch is up next. Good afternoon.
Sir Paul.
I am at fault, and my resignation will be on your desk in the morning, Mitch.
I'll let this one go. You get another chance. So don't put it on my desk because I'm gonna tear it up.
Okay.
Now the next one I might accept. Paul, let's just be 100% honest. Nick Saban wasn't talking to anybody but his football team. Now, if other people could take a message from his speech, he probably didn't mind that. But he was letting his team know.
Well, I would agree with you. I mean, at this point, Nick Saban is not concerned about anything other than getting back in the contention next year. So when one of his star players, incoming players, gets in trouble, he did feel like it was the time to lay the law down. Now, why he chose those type of phrases, I have no idea. And I'm sure we're now 22 hours into the story. If he was that concerned about the way it's been interpreted, I'm sure he would have corrected it. He has a number of many, many media personalities, including me, and he could have called and said, hey, listen, I didn't mean that. I meant this. We haven't heard that from anybody.
Well, I think that all he might have been doing was telling his players that are freshmen and sophomores, let this happen to you and you won't be on my team next fall.
Exactly. I think that would have been a smart thing to say. Hey, thanks so much for the call. Pembroke is up next. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. It is an honor to talk to you.
Thank you.
I've been a fan for many, many years over in Montgomery, Alabama. I moved to Jackson about 13 years ago to be closer to family. And you can only imagine the hell that I catch in Mississippi being an Alabama fan.
I bet.
So I want to talk to you today about, I just want to say something short. You know, young people, I'm 54 years young and made bad decisions, and I made some real good decisions in my life. And, you know, I don't know if there's an answer to young people wanting to, you know, do what they do. But the fact is that, you know, I listened this morning to Coach Nick Saban, and I thought it was well spoken. I think that, you know, it's a shame that young people, you know, that have so much opportunity can make such poor decisions. But as far as the basketball goes, I am thrilled to death that Alabama's doing so well. But I'm really thrilled to death that the whole SEC has really done well in the NCAA tournament. And I'm thrilled to get through to you, and I'd love to hear your comments on that. And thank you for the call.
Well, thank you, and we're really appreciative of your phone call, and it has been an amazing march so far. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Let's check out Mark, who is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul. I really appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
You know, you're the best, and I think it's Jimmy the Cop that came on, and I'm going to have to disagree. You know, that's what makes this show great. He said anyone, you know, that disagrees with him is smoking tea leaves, whatever it was. I think your quote after that was, "You're right," and you went to a break. Cody Mitchell was arrested with marijuana possession. There were images of large bag of marijuana. He had a firearm, stacks of cash, you name it, he had it, okay? You had a guy on about an hour ago that made this quote. If Saban were the basketball coach at Alabama, he would have done the same to Brandon Miller. My question to you, and I respect you greatly, because I know you're the best. I don't know why you didn't stop him and recant and make him say that again, because we're talking about maybe apples and watermelons here. And for that guy, whoever he is, I don't know him. You had him on your show. For him to get away with that, probably the worst comparison I've heard on your program since Vickers days in Birmingham.
Yeah, well, listen, that is on me. But let me also say, Mark, I think the only really salient question here is, what would Nick Saban have done in Nate Oates' shoes? And I'll just offer you a crazy opinion here. In spite of everything that has happened, I think he would have done the exact same thing that Nate Oates did.
I agree with you. I was the one that called and talked about the commander role and Tuscaloosa police and how, you know, how they don't release capital murder
right
information, you know, quickly. So I don't mean to be, and I think I was a little too harsh
okay
hard there, but
you were making a point.
You know, it just bothers me. You know, Brandon Miller is the longer we get into this, I think one of the concerns we're going to find, and that people are not going to be happy with this, is it very well could be there was an Alabama player, another Alabama player there. But more than that, is that it looks like this is probably going to be self-defense when it all shakes out. And then the national media is really going to have a
mess.
Yeah,
Mark, I thought when we had our guest yesterday from the Tuscaloosa, Ryan Phillips from the Tuscaloosa Patch, he made that point, and it's much more confusing today. Nobody wants to litigate that any longer here, except to say that we're jumping because it's Nick Saban. We're always trying to interpret. I think Nick Saban had that in his head. It seemed like he was reading from notes, and as Talty said earlier, Nick Saban doesn't walk into a press conference and make a statement like that without having thought it through. Now, what he was trying to accomplish from that, I have no idea.
I think I'll end the call on that. I think you're 100% correct. Saban knows exactly what he's doing 100% of the time. We don't, but he does.
Sure. And, I've heard some really incredible reactions to what Nick Saban said today that, I don't think he was taking a direct shot at Nate Oates. I think he was just trying to make a point. It was in his head. He said it. And 24 hours later, we're all talking about it because we're not talking about somebody that's a minor figure here. We're talking about Nick Saban. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Expired next up in Texas.
Hey, Paul.
Glad good afternoon.
Finally get on.
Thank you.
About damn time. But anyways, I just want to say a couple things. Miami was replaced, you know, by Alabama as Convict U, but I would like to apologize to the University of Miami, the U, okay? Baylor was in between. I think Lee brought it up with Coach Waligo, and I'm just going to sit here and say what a dumpster fire Baylor was at one point, and Convict U, Alabama, okay, and I know we got a lot of Alabama listeners out there, Convict U, Alabama is what it is now, okay, and they have taken over the lead from Baylor, so anytime you Alabama fans get all high and mighty, okay, maybe you'll win a national basketball championship. Just look in the mirror and see Baylor, okay? And the last thing I'm going to say, Paul, and I'm really glad you got me on. I really appreciate you having me on. I really appreciate you listening to me, is remember these two words. Connor Wegman, fighting Texas Aggies all the way. Love you, Paul. Love your show.
Thank you very much. We are heading to a break. We're doing something I cannot wait for. We're heading down to Auburn in a minute and find out how Cam Newton did at his pro day. I thought his pro day was, what, in 2011? He had another one today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Pro Day tomorrow in Alabama. We've got two of the top players in the NFL draft that will be featured. And we'll have it for you tomorrow at 1 p.m. As far as today, there was a pro day then at Auburn. It involved Cam Newton, who left Auburn after the 2010 season. He was a number one pick in the NFL draft by the Carolina Panthers. He was the MVP in 2015. And in this most recent season, didn't play for anyone. Tom Green watched it all today. Tom, good afternoon. Thanks so much for being with us. First of all, how did this come about?
So it's kind of been in the works for a little while, because Kalen Newton, who spent the 2021 and I believe 2020 seasons at Auburn, Cam's little brother, best known for, when he started a quarterback at Howard and upset UNLV or Nevada, I forgot which one it was, as a true freshman. But yeah, he came back to Auburn for this pro day after spending his last year of eligibility at William & Mary. He's been training with his brother and, Cam just kind of thought, wouldn't it be cool if, we kind of closed this book on our Auburn careers together like this. So the way Kalen described it is that, you know, this, while yes, for Cam, it was, you know, an opportunity for him to show some NFL personnel that he still got it. He described it as a selfless act, you know, just coming out here to show support for his little brother on his pro day and, you know, be the one throwing to him all day.
So good for his brother. Hope he does well. How did Cam look?
You know, his arm still looks like, you know, like Cam. You know, I had him at 28 of 34 pass attempts that he completed. You know, there were a few of them that were, you know, thrown behind guys, a couple overthrows. But, I mean, a lot of it looked really smooth. You know, he made some throws on the run downfield. You know, he was throwing to Kalen Newton and to Shedrick Jackson, threw a few passes to tight end John Samuel Shanker as well. I think for the most part, he looked good. He looked pretty fluid, but, you know, I don't think his arm was ever in question. I think it's just a matter of, you know, his health and his conditioning, especially after, you know, being away from football for a full year.
Tom, I'm not trying to put you in the role of a NFL GM, but based on what you saw and maybe what you heard, do you think it mattered to the NFL scouts who really didn't go down there to see Cam Newton? They could have seen him any day of the week if they wanted to.
No, I think it might have some effect on them. You know, again, Cam said it last night in that video that he posted. There aren't 30, he doesn't think that there's 32 guys in the league better than him, let alone, you know, 64. So, you know, we'll see if, you know, he can use this to kind of springboard back into the league, at least get some more eyes on him, see what happens next for him. Because, you know, I mean, he's still got that competitive fire. He's still very much Cam, just kind of bouncing around, smiling. You know, when they started throwing, you know, it was dead quiet in here, kind of eerily quiet. And, you know, he just shouted, you know, would it be a sin to get some music in here? And they finally started playing some music over the loudspeakers, and he was bouncing around and, you know, feeling himself and, you know, went out and did his thing.
Yeah, listen, Tom, based on what a lot of NFL people have said, it's not always what Cam's ability, it's really, you know, He's such a bigger-than-life figure that sometimes that can be a disruption, particularly if he was a backup quarterback. So it brings me to Tank Bigsby and other players. How did, other than Cam, how did the play go today?
Yeah, you know, Tank, you know, his unofficial 40 time, I think he shaved a tenth of a second off what he did at the combine. You know, I know he wasn't thrilled with his time at the combine. You know, so he didn't really do anything too different, just, you know, kept with his training and, you know, caught a little bit of better time, ran a lot more routes and caught a lot more passes here because, you know, that's something that he wants to prove to NFL teams that he's capable of doing and can kind of bring to that position and be a three down back in the league. You know, Owen Papo, you know, he just did position drills. He kind of stood on what he did at the combine, where he kind of stole the show there with his 40 time and his bench reps and all that. So he was pretty satisfied. Did not have to do too much today. You know, someone who really did stand out and, you know, probably is going to earn himself a shot in the NFL now is Shedrick Jackson. You know, he didn't get a combine invite. You know, wasn't the most productive receiver during his time at Auburn, but, you know, he came out here. His vert was 38 and a half inches. He ran a 4.32 unofficial on the 40. I was out there running some good routes and making some good passes from Cam. And I think he had an 11.2 broad jump as well. So I think he's definitely one of those guys that's going to be satisfied with how his day went and, you know, probably earned himself some money.
Tom Green with us covering Pro Day today, including an appearance by Cam Newton. Tom, before you go, give us an update on camp. What, I mean, there seems to be a lot of optimism coming out of Hugh Freeze's first camp. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, Hugh seemed, you know, pretty blunt about his assessment of this team right now. Yeah, he feels that they need to be a lot further along at quarterback and at wide receiver. So just not – the passing game is not where it needs to be right now. Obviously, it's still early. You know, other positions still have, you know, work they need to do too. But, you know, evaluating these quarterbacks and getting this passing game where they want it to with him and Philip Montgomery is going to be a process. It's going to take time. You know, they're going to make some adjustments to kind of how they're teaching some of these things to these guys. But, you know, he said the good thing is that they're coachable, they're eager, and, you know, they want to, you know, be the guys in this offense.
Tom Green joining us from Auburn with Cam Newton's first, well, not his first, his second pro day. He had another one 12 years ago. Hey, thank you very, very much. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you as the spring continues to unfold. Tom Green joining us from the Plains. When we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll switch gears a little bit, talk some hoops. I know somebody suggested we need to talk more about that. And we are going to, but with an unconventional source. Yesterday we had John Daly. Today we have Justin Moore, who just had another number one hit a couple of weeks ago on the country charts. And he'll join us talking hoops and country music.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
I've pretty much gone the circle with Arkansas super fans in recent days. When we were in Nashville, we had Bobby Bones, we had John Daly yesterday, and Justin Moore today, who's got a new record coming out in a couple of weeks. It's already had number one or a couple of number one hits off of it. And it is great to see you again, Justin. Thanks so much for making time, and looks like you're ready for the must-bust pulling out of Arkansas. How are you?
I'm great, Paul. Thank you for having me, man.
But some people, I mean, obviously almost everyone watching and listening knows your music. You've been on tour and you're about to get back out there again. You've also, I think I was on your first show, you're dabbling in sports talk radio, which I told you on the first day you're making a big mistake. It looks like I was wrong.
No, I think you were right. I just don't listen well. My wife could tell you that much, but no, man, it's been a lot of fun, and it's provided me the opportunity to, you know, meet and interview and get to know some of my childhood legendary Hog heroes, you know, which has been a lot of fun for me, and get to know them. And then, you know, weeks like this are easy for us to do radio here in Little Rock, as you know. It's been a really good week.
We'll talk about the Hogs for a second. Then I do want to talk about your musical career, your music career, which is on fire at the moment and has been for a long time. Some epic hits and records that you have put out. But in terms of what you've seen from Arkansas, tell us what you think is ahead, because not many people expected the must bust to get this far.
No, I was one of those people, to be honest with you. We were just so inconsistent all year, and I think a lot of that you can probably attribute to youth. You know, this is one of the younger teams in the conference, if not the country. You know, when you're looking at as many freshmen as we've had to play this year, or, you know, they're great players, but we've played a lot of freshmen, in other words. And you know, I think Mus has said this, and I've said the same thing. You know, it felt like we could beat anybody in the country or lose to anybody in the country. And we kind of saw shades of each throughout the year. But as Mus does, man, he's got them playing their best basketball right now. You know, to knock off, you know, to beat Illinois was a good team, and it's obviously a great program, but To beat a number one seed now for the second straight year in the tournament, I think just speaks volumes of how great a coach Eric Musselman is.
We're talking to Justin Moore. I do want to talk about your new record. And you know, there was a time back in the day when you put out a record and everybody was waiting to hear it. I mean, I feel like I know this record pretty well. I mean, the first hit came out in the fall with A Woman You Love, and you've had a few since then. How does this work? It's coming out in May, but you've already had, two or three singles from it?
Yeah, I don't think we know how it works nowadays either, Paul. I think we're all trying to figure it out as artists and record labels and, you know, with the social media being what it is now and no more CDs or tapes or anything like that, I think we're all still trying to figure out the best way to put music out there. And I think what we've learned is the more the better, and the quicker you can get new music out there, better. So yeah, our single at radio right now is called You, Me, and Whiskey. It's the second single from the album. The album's called Stray Dog. And that's a duet with Priscilla Block, who's a new artist who I think has a really bright future ahead of her. But yeah, we've put out, you know, two or three others in addition to that, that people can get on iTunes or wherever they stream their music. And it's funny for me, Paul, because this is my 16th year. I signed my record deal 16 years ago, which is hard to believe. I was 8 when I signed my deal. It's changed so much, man. But I feel fortunate to just still be doing this for a living and still be having hits on the radio and get to go play shows for people. So however we get stuff out there now and in the future is fine with me, as long as they still let me be a part of it.
Talking to Justin Moore, and most people, as I mentioned, know your music library, but maybe not everybody does, but I mean, it is really vast. And we're talking about songs like Small Town USA, To My Last Day, If Heaven Wasn't So Far Away, Point at You. I want to ask you about one in particular, because I think it's the biggest hit you've had, but If Heaven Wasn't So Far Away, it's just one of those songs, Justin, that people hear and it never leaves them. Is that, I mean, when you, I know you have so many great songs, Beta Hook, I'll Kick Your Ass. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I like that one in particular. How does that process work?
Well, thank you for the kind words. Again, we've been really lucky that country radio and the fans have supported us for a long time now. So I don't know why, but we certainly appreciate it. Yeah, If Heaven Went So Far Away, I think the special thing about songs like that, and the ones that didn't make it back home, I would throw into that group as well. It's always fun to have a hit record, and it's good for your career and all of the above. People sing along with it, and your parents tell you how important you are when it's number one, and all that good stuff. But when you have people come up to you at grocery stores and ball fields and stuff like that and go, man, I just want you to know, when I was going through losing my grandfather or my dad or sister or whatever, this really helped me through a difficult time. And I think that kind of speaks to the power of not only music, but specifically country music. So it kind of transcends just being a hit record at that point, which is really cool to hear those stories. And the fact that people feel comfortable enough and they feel so strongly about a song like that, that they want to share their story with you, that's really, really neat to me.
I know when you're doing a concert, and I've heard some of your live records from I think the Ryman and others, where, you're a get into it, go crazy. I mean, the song I referenced a minute ago. but then you get to a song like that and the mood changes. How do you? The audience is going. I mean, where do you put a song like that in a set list?
Yeah, you know, we always try to, when we make our set list, we always try to take the audience kind of up a little bit and then down a little bit. And then But it's always doing this throughout the show. And so, you know, that's why I love country music, too, is because, you know, it can make you laugh if you need that, or it can help you cry if you need to do that. Roll the window down, crank it up, party if you want to do that. It's so, you know, it's always kind of tricky. Where do you do that? But my band and I have been together for so long that, you know, we kind of just get in a room and or get on Zoom or something and work it all out together. And so, yeah, it's always a little tricky, but it's fun when you get to put a new set list together. And now when you have a new album, you try to throw some new songs in there as well. So, that's always a fun part, but you know, for the first few times you go play the new show, you're going, okay, that did not work. We got to change that. or this is cool. Or maybe we should do this. It's kind of like putting a puzzle together.
Does it help? Because, I remember growing up, you'd go to a concert and a big artist would say, I've got a new song out. And everybody go, no. But your song, your songs are already out there, though, by the time you get on tour. So which brings me to the question. I mean, we are past COVID now, but that had to be a difficult period. And what was it like to get back out there and feel the crowd and to do what you're so great at?
Yeah, it really was, man. It goes without saying that was really difficult on us, and our industry was just crippled by it for you know, a couple of years, if not more. And we didn't know when we were going to get to go back out there, if ever. So I think it really made us all I think we all appreciated what we get to do for a living to an extent, but not like we do now. I think that just kind of magnified it. And when we got back out there, I'd be honest with you, Paul, it was emotional. I mean, I went and played a show, and then I didn't have another one for another couple of months. And I was almost in tears leaving the stage because I'm going, I don't know when I'm going to get to do this again, you know? And so now that we're back to the way things were prior to COVID, it's pretty awesome, man. And I don't think we'll ever, if we did ever take it for granted before, I think it, we won't so easily now.
Finally, Justin, we talked about Arkansas basketball. We talked about, you know, a career that's already Hall of Fame quality with number one songs and great records. But the thing I've never understood about you, and I think I said this when I was on your show a year and a half ago, is how you're able to put up with David Basil doing a program.
It's difficult. You know, that may be my greatest talent, Paul. But no, he's a great guy, man, and such a great ambassador for our state.
He is,
and has been for a long, long time. And I'm thankful and honored to have the chance to work with not only him, but Roger Scott, our other co-host on our show. And they've become great friends of mine now. And it's a lot of fun, man. For me, being a creative person, it's another outlet for my creativity and gives me a chance to cut up and show my comedic side a little bit, or at least I think I have a little bit of one. Maybe I don't need to shut up, but it's been a whole lot of fun, man. And like I said, having the chance to, you know, get to interview Todd Day or Corliss Williamson or those kind of guys for me is such a thrill. And it takes me back to, you know, being 12 years old and counting the clock down at dark. And my parents are telling me to come back in. And I'm going, at the buzzer, you know, Todd Day makes it. And so it's been pretty neat for me. It kind of makes me feel like a kid again.
Well, Justin, that's how we feel about talking to you and John yesterday and people like that. It's anytime I think you get outside, talking to coaches is what we do all the time, but genuine stars and you are in that world, and I know Arkansas fans and country music fans all over the country appreciate it and can't wait to see you on tour and get this and hear this record when it fully comes out here in a couple of weeks. You be well and stay in touch with us. We always enjoy this conversation.
Hey, thank you so much. And Paul, you've always been really great and really gracious and said a lot of nice things about me. And I just want you to know how much it's appreciated. And I'm a big fan of you as well. I love what you do. So anytime you allow me to have the opportunity to come on with you. I so much appreciate it.
Justin, thank you. We'll see you very, very soon. And all the best when the record comes out in May. We are coming back. What a treat that was. Arkansas provides some great personalities. Bobby a couple of days ago in Nashville, and John yesterday, and obviously Justin here today. We're back with your phone calls right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Busy show. We've had countless guests, and I'll try to make up some time with some phone calls here. Doug is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi there.
Yeah. Paul?
Yes, sir.
I got probably a silly question. What happened to Kentucky this year?
Well, really the same thing that's happened in the last couple of years. They've tried to make do with good players, but certainly not the type of players that they had 10 years ago. And they
supposedly had one of the best big men in the game when the season started.
True.
And then all of a sudden their season collapsed, so... It's a little disheartening.
Well, I can understand that, Doug. And I think one thing John Calipari did, he had such a run there in the in the first half of his career. You know, he won.
Yeah.
He was in the Final Four, four times, played for the national championship a couple of times. And slowly it's starting to unravel. And I think a couple of years ago, maybe you could say it's an aberration, but it's really starting to become the norm now, and that's the problem.
Could I ask the inevitable question? Is it the one and done that's killing Kentucky?
I don't think so, because, I mean, I think you could have said that a couple of years ago, but if you look at this team, I mean, he had some experience there. I mean, obviously, Oscar had been there for a couple of years. He had other players that have been around, and I think he's tried to. Cal has tried it both ways, and right now, unfortunately for him and the Wildcat Nation, nothing's working. Dwayne is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Dwayne.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, man?
We're doing well. Thank you, Dwayne.
That's awesome. I call you when I can. I'm a prison guard, and I get my hours. I can't get you all the time.
Sure.
But I've noticed, you know, I called you back in last summer and in the fall, and every time I get to watch your show, I-Man is always talking down on Alabama. And this ain't what I called about, but this dude needs to get a life. But anyway, I think Nick Saban was kind of telling parents that it's okay to come here, but if your kid messes up, he's gone. I don't think he was meaning anything to Nate Oates. Of course, I like Nick Saban. He's my favorite coach, and I might be, you know, a little biased, but I honestly don't believe he was talking bad to Mr. Nate Oates. But Alabama fans have been on Twitter and called you, Alabama fan, and said that Brandon Miller shouldn't play. I've heard it. So that's all I had to say, Paul. Thanks
well, thank you. Thank you very, very much. I'm glad to hear from you. Fred is up next in
just
South Carolina.
Say
hello,
we're
Fred.
At St. George.
Hey, Fred.
Hello. Hello.
I don't know. I would wherever Fred is, I would like to be there. That I can tell you. How about Rattlejaw in South Carolina? Hello, Rattle.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you about Justin Moore.
Please.
What a great, great, great guy. I tell you, I'm involved with an organization here in South Carolina, Lowcountry, to help veterans. We're trying to slow down the suicide rate. And Justin came down and did a benefit concert for us this past October. You know, it's a feather in his cap when a man is willing to come down and put on a fabulous concert for 3,000 people. That's what we had. We didn't fill up a stadium. We didn't fill up an auditorium. We had 3,000 people that bought tickets online and came to this show to see Justin Moore and the other groups that were local. And I'm telling you what, it was fabulous. I mean, it was unbelievable. Paul, I'm a 78-year-old retired Marine, and I'm a country western fan. I had never really heard of Justin Moore. And I tell you what, when I walked away from that concert that night, I knew
he's good.
Justin Moore was.
Hey, thank you very much. You be well. Thank you for your service.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.